When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it began as a joke about a ghost boy named Jacob until they found his name written on the ceiling.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have a ghost story to share, you could leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. You could also write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, you get no commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. So sign up at Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes Harper. How are you, friend?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'd like to say fantastic. I'll tell you tomorrow because I have a play opening this Friday and I'm going to dress rehearsal tonight. And it always makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
To see dress rehearsal because I'm like, what if it's not funny? What if people hate my play?
Okay, whoa, it's going to be blah, funny. Blah, blah, blah.
You know what
you
I mean?
It. It's going to be funny.
The sense of doubt comes in, and yeah. The show's going to run for 7 weeks during the holiday season, and there's five nights a week. Some weeks there's six shows, and I'm like, I don't want to disappoint all those people. Because could you imagine? It's like night after night, people are like, God, that was horrible. So we'll see. It's funny. It's called Holidays of Our Lives. And it's definitely soap opera. All the cliches from soap operas are in it. And I think it's funny, but I'm seeing it for the first time tonight. I went to first read through with everybody. It's got a terrific cast. And so I'm going tonight to actually, hopefully they don't have scripts in their hands since it opens in 2 days. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
It's going to be great.
I hope so. I hope so. I wish you could come see it.
Wish I could come see it too.
Tell your dad.
I'm devastated. I can't go see the Christmas soap opera.
I really want to go see Holidays of Our Lives.
I do. I really do.
It is full of every single cliche you could think of.
Someone get hit by a car.
There's an accident. Oh, yeah. I have a plane wreck in there. Amnesia.
What?
Yeah, there's amnesia, plane accident.
What is this? The new 911 season?
It's just like everything that happens in, there's spirits in there, but they're the ghost of Christmas, present, past, and future.
And this is going to be a great show.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun, I think. So we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you posted. So let's talk about this ghost story. My dog thinks I'm ready to go do something. Benji, go lay down. And he did. He jumped up on the bed and is laying down. Okay, so here is our first story. It says, this story gives me goosebumps every time I tell it. It happened about 10 years ago. I was living just outside Toronto in this really old century home in Stouffville, I'm going to guess I'm saying that correctly, with my two friends, Amanda and Lori. This place was easily over 100 years old, creaky floors, uneven ceilings, the kind of house that already feels haunted before anything actually happens. We never saw anything directly, but there was no question that something or someone was there with us. It started with the whispering. Almost every night when we were upstairs getting ready for bed, we'd hear people talking down in the dining room. Not just one or two voices, it was a whole group of them. You couldn't make out what they were saying, but you could tell there were both men and women, like a conversation happening just out of earshot. Of course, the second one of us would go downstairs to check, it would stop every time. Then the moment we'd go back upstairs, there it was again. It became kind of a running thing. Oh, the dinner party's back. We'd joke about it, but the truth was it always made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. The house had this big old kitchen with a little sitting area. I used to spend a lot of time there at night doing work or scrolling around online. Without fail, you could hear footsteps in the front hall, heavy, slow steps, always followed by a faint cough. That's interesting. We got so used to it that it almost became background noise, like, oh yeah, that's just the old man walking through again. One night, though, Amanda was on the computer and I was standing at the sink talking to her when a spoon, I swear to you, flung itself off the counter. It didn't slide. It didn't fall. It flew halfway across the room, landed in the entrance to the dining room. There was no window open, no draft, just a spoon deciding to make an exit. Neither of us wanted to pick it up. Amanda had her own issues upstairs. She'd complain that her closet door kept creaking open at night. At first, she thought maybe the latch was loose, but it would happen even when she put something in front of it to keep it closed. Then one night, Lori and I were asleep, and Amanda was still up on the computer. She said for about 10 minutes straight, she could hear a door upstairs slowly open, slam shut. Slowly open, slam shut. She didn't come up to check. She knew we were asleep, and she wasn't about to go investigate alone. But the weirdest part of all, and what stuck with me the most, was the feeling that there was a child in the house. None of us ever saw him, but there was this presence, like when you walked into a room and you just know someone is standing behind you. The basement especially had that feeling. It was dark with old stone walls behind those rickety wooden stairs that creak no matter how light you are. Lori was braver than the rest of us and usually did the laundry down there. Amanda and I mostly avoided it if we could. It had a heavy, uncomfortable energy. One afternoon, I went down to keep Lori company while she was doing laundry. I was looking around, and there were some old tools and random junk left from past owners. And tucked away between the stones of one wall, I saw a marble wedged between the cracks. It looked old, cloudy glass with a faint swirl inside, so I picked it up to get a better look. And before I could even say anything, Lori turned around and said, "Put it back." I stared at her and said, "Why?" Completely serious, she said, "Because the little boy doesn't like it." I did not argue. I set it back where I found it. About a month later, we went to this native festival nearby. I bought this little pendulum, one of those crystal ones that's supposed to answer yes or no to questions based on how it swings. Back home, we started playing around with it, just asking dumb things at first. But the weird part, it was always right every time. So, of course, eventually, we asked it about the boy. We started small. Is there a child here with us? Yes. We asked how old he was, counting up from one. When we got to 10, it started circling again. Yes. Then we tried to spell his name, going through the alphabet. We'd call out a letter, wait, move to the next one. When we got to J, it swung again. Yes. Then A, then C, then O, then B. Jacob. That's how we started calling him, the little boy in the house, Jacob. From then on, any time something weird would happen, a door creaking open, a light flickering, we'd joke about it. Careful, Jacob doesn't like that. It was our way of making the whole thing a little less creepy. We even started feeling like Jacob had a sense of humor. One night, I was in the spare room where we kept Jack, our pet. He had his own little space with toys. Oh, I guess maybe it was our pet dog. It doesn't say, it just says our pet. Some of the toys were kids' toys that played music when you pressed a button. I was putting Jack back in his cage. I don't know what Jack was. Maybe Jack was a bird. when one of the toys went off on its own. At first, I thought it was a glitch, but then I said out loud, if anyone's in here, play it again in 10 seconds. I counted out loud, and right on 10, the toy started playing again. I have never left a room so fast in my life. The activity never really did stop. We lived there for about a year. Something weird would happen almost every night. The house didn't feel evil, though. When the time came to move out, we were packing up and carrying a queen-sized mattress down the stairs. About halfway down, it got stuck on the ceiling. When we jostled it loose, one of the old ceiling tiles shifted out of place. Lori joked, hey, maybe there's treasure up there. She reached up through the opening to feel around, and her hand brushed something solid. She grabbed it, pulled it out. There was a small wooden box covered in dust. She set it on the table, opened it carefully. Inside were a few marbles, an old sports card, and a folded piece of paper. She unfolded it, and we could all see that it was written in fancy, careful handwriting, but definitely a kid's handwriting. Jacob Williams. We stared at each other. Nobody said anything for what felt like a full minute. After all the time joking about a little boy, Jacob, after all the strange things we'd felt and seen, there it was. We didn't know what to do. We left the box behind when we moved, partly because it felt wrong to take it, and partly because we were scared of what might happen if we did. I have moved a few times since then. None of my other homes have ever felt like that one did. That old house in Stouffville wasn't just haunted, it was alive. Sometimes I wonder if Jacob is still there watching new people move in and waiting for someone else to find his little box. That's from Janice.
Ooh, oh.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So many things, like the whole weird voices and dinner party thing. I'm going to guess that was one thing and Jacob was another.
Maybe it was like, maybe it was like all like one big connected family type thing. Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, think about it, like during that time, like, I mean, dinner parties still are like a thing, but I mean, like they were like a really, really formal thing back then where it was like, oh,
could have
yes,
been, yeah.
We're going to invite the Williams family over for some turkey.
And
little boy
Jacob
just playing with his box.
You know, it was weird. The one thing I would like to ask her about, was it Lori that could go into the basement? Yeah. Lori would go down and do laundry, and then Janice went with her that one time, and she found the marble, and she said, put it back, and then Lori said, because the little boy doesn't like it. I would have reached out to Lori, like maybe after we moved, and said, why did you feel that? Did you know he was there? Like, did you see him? Like, what made her say that? Or did she even remember saying it? It could have been like something just took over her for a minute.
It's just like an odd thing to say when someone like moves a marble. It's like, the little boy doesn't like that.
Yeah. I would like a little bit more backstory to that, or maybe not even backstory. There might not be any backstory at all. I would like to know, like, what happened with Lori? How did she know that?
Right.
Is Lori sensitive? Was she seeing him the whole time? Like, what's up with Lori?
What's up with Lori?
It's a whole new series. What's up with Lori? I just find that fascinating, the whole story. And, you know, in an old house like that, you know, the staircase, you probably would have taken twin beds up there so they would have smaller mattresses. Everything was smaller back in the day. So I get that taking a big mattress probably was hard to get in and out of there. That's just so interesting to me that they would find that box. So question to you is, would you, if you would have found the box, would you have left it or would have you taken it?
Definitely, I'm leaving it. It's not my business to take that little boy's box.
Do you think that maybe the little boy then left after that because somebody finally found his box? He can move on? Or is he attached to the box and going to stay there forever?
I don't know.
I like to think he'd move on.
I can see it both ways. I'd like to think like he moved on, but I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not.
Poor little guy. That was a really good story, though.
Yeah.
Well, here is our next story.
Hey, this is Dave Vaughn. I live out in Virginia Beach. I got a crazy story to tell you. This is actually a story that, this is actually something that happened to me when I was about, I gotta say, I was about 6 years old. We had this two-bedroom apartment. I think it was second or third floor. I'm not really familiar. I don't really remember. But anyway, I remember this because the living room and the kitchen was like right next to each other. This is back in the days. You used to have that box fan. Remember that box fan you put in the window? So you'll get like a lot of air coming from the outside, so it's a little cooler inside the house. And then we had the two bedrooms, but my mom and dad's bedroom, which is like right next to me and my sister's bedroom. And we had bunk beds, better ring a bed. My mom, at the time, their furniture wasn't in their room yet. My mom was staying there and sleeping in the room with my sister. She left up there. My father was laying on the floor with me at nighttime, right between the line of the kitchen and the living room. And like I said, this is back in the days. It's probably like, I don't know, about 86, so about 5, so about 86. But anyway, we were sleeping, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had seen something coming from that where the box fan was at. It was like a little glow. But I couldn't really, you know how you like kind of sleep, but you're not. You know, so I'm like, oh, I'm not still sleeping right now. I'm looking at it, and I can see something, like, it's coming closer. The light is, like, still, like, the light blue glow is, like, coming closer to me. And it keeps coming closer. And then you can see something, like, in the light, like, kind of going, like, reaching towards me. At this time, I'm kind of getting up a little high. Getting up, like, my body, I'm, like, looking myself up a little more so I can look and see, like, where is that? And then I see like a silhouette of like a figure of a person. No names. No nothing. Just that light that goes probably to the waist area. And I see like the light of an arm reaching right towards me. And I'm kind of like, you know, trying to get my vision right. Like, am I tripping? And then right, it's about to grab me. And I just start screaming. And then my mom runs in. My father wakes up. My mom wants to hit the light. And it's gone. My mom's like, What's wrong? And I'm like, why did we go? And I'm crying, you know, I'm hysterical. My mother don't believe me. She never believed me and stuff like that. My mother's a little church mom. She used to always be like, I'll be going to sleep and she'll do like some oils and put like a cross on my head and stuff like that. But yeah, that's what happened when I was younger. That's one that happened when I was younger. I'll give you one more. I'll make it quick for you. Well, another one happened. I think I was about like 11 years old. I had a best friend named Chris. Me and Chris, we had a two-floor apartment. All right. Well, ours was on second floor, but you go down, you know, the steps going up and the second floor. But anyway, so we were about to watch the scary. We were always in the scary movies. So we had the VHS tape on top of the coffee table. And then people used to ring the bell and run. We're up there, and somebody rung the bell. So we run downstairs. Run downstairs and check the looking people. So, why are they here? I'm like, okay. Go back upstairs. And this is why I ring the bell again. So, we run back downstairs and I check people. He's like, okay. And Grayson's like, okay, we'll catch him. We'll get him. So, this time we creep down the steps so they don't see it. Like, here, walking down the steps all heavy or nothing. And then ring the bell again. Ding dong. And we look through the people. And then we hear a ding dong. We don't see nobody. And people, what the heck? Ding dong. So, we open up the door. And we see the doggone doorbell getting pushed in. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. So we just ran upstairs. And the crazy thing, we run upstairs, and the VHS tape that we had on top of the coffee table falls right on the top of the steps. And it drops far right there. Like it was up in the air, and it dropped. Boom. But we didn't see up in the air. We just seen it hit drop. Boom. So we start screaming. We run to the back to go through the back door to go like out the back door towards like going out to the backyard. So I used to have a skateboard. Hanging up, like tied up and stuff on it, like on a out and go to the back door. I tied up like on a wall. As soon as we get over there to the back door, that skateboard just drops to the ground. Boom! Right now, as soon as we open the door, it just dropped. Boom! And we seen it like it was floating and dropped. Boom! So we went out the backyard, right out through the back door, and out to the backyard. And I'm coming to hysterical. Chris was like into a Catholic school, so I was over here yelling at him. Oh, bless me, you know what I'm saying? He's doing the whole, you know, taking, drinking the water from the hole or something. So I bless him under the Father, Son, Holy Spirit and stuff like that. Yeah. So that was crazy. So that's one of the two experiences that I'm telling you about now. But I had maybe two more after that. One with my son that freaked me out, but I'll tell you that one later on. I hope you enjoy these little short stories. My name is Dave Vaughn, and I enjoy listening to your podcast. Man, I just got all into it, man. I'm going to continue listening to it, man. And I keep doing what you're doing. I'm loving it. All right? Take care.
You know, we had that story in another episode you and I did recently about the blue orbs that they saw at the cemetery. And he's like lying in bed. He's got the box fan in the window because in the 80s, we didn't all have central air back then or even air like a window unit. And he sees that blue light or a light come in and then takes the shape of a person.
Oh, that would scare me. Like, what would you do, Carol, if you saw that?
I would probably scream. That probably would really scare me.
Probably what's going to happen. Yeah.
So, you know, because orbs could be spirits. And, I mean, they could be dust if you're looking on a video. But if you're lying in bed, you know, because you see them on videos, you don't normally see an orb, let alone a light that turns into a person.
Yeah.
That seems like how you would see a spirit, something become a spirit, something kind of manifest as a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That would freak me out.
It's kind of like fairy godmother, just kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of is what it's like, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say so.
And then the other deal, I don't know. It could be somebody messing with them on the doorbell, and then that just led from one thing up to another, and then it's all kind of tied in together and paranormal. I don't know.
I don't know. It just sounded chaotic.
It was, yes, it was chaos. It was like paranormal chaos happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good story. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would love it if you shared it with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like to be a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, get access to the archive, no commercials, you could do that. Sign up at Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.